and welcome to the latest episode of Harmonious World. My name is Hilary Seabrook, and for this episode, I'm joined by saxist Mark Lockhart, who I have known for many years. I had a short stint with the incredible Loose Tubes, of which Mark was a member back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mark's latest album is called Smiling. It's got an amazing 12-piece ensemble of some of the top players in the UK. What you're listening to right now is Back and Forth from Smiling. I interviewed Mark in the foyer of the wonderful Barbican Centre. So there's a little bit of background noise, but I think it all adds to the atmosphere. So I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Mark Lockhart and enjoying some of his music along the way. So, hello, Mark Lockhart.
Hello, nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. And we've realised that we knew each other many years ago. Yeah. So, we'll talk about Loose Tubes along the way. But I really want to talk to you about your album, Smiling, which is out in the end of March. Is that right?
29th of March, yeah.
That's very exciting. So tell me about the composition and recording process. When did you write the pieces?
Most of it's all brand new music written in the last year and a half, really. We recorded it a year ago, so most of the music was written quite quickly, actually, in about 6 months. And there's a couple of pieces on it that were older pieces.
Right.
That I had kicking around and I didn't really know what to do with, so I heard it for this lineup as I started to kind of orchestrate it a bit, you know.
Right. Because I was going to ask you about the orchestration. Mm. Because you've got a lot of horns and things in there.
Yeah.
A lot of brass and stuff. Was that part of the evolution of the composition process?
I think I was always writing for these people in mind.
Right.
So quite a lot of the musicians on this record are old friends of mine, and we've done stuff before.
Yeah.
And 25 years ago, my debut record was a record called Through Rose Coloured Glasses. So way after Loose Tubes, I was quite a late developer, really. But I bought that record out, and that was with a 12-piece group as well. And obviously the music's very different now.
Yeah.
But some of the same people are on that. So I was writing for Roland Sutherland on flute, John Paricelli, who I've worked and done many things with. So there were a few key people that I was writing for when I started to do the writing for this project.
Right, because John's, that opening of Keep Smiling as well, is just
Morning Smiles.
Oh, yeah, Morning Smiles. Yeah.
Just think smiles.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is that opening to Morning Smiles. I'll let you listen to a little bit more of that before we continue the conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, John's critical to this record, you know, the way he plays and he knows my music, and, you know, we can second guess each other. And, So I wrote the parts, obviously quite detailed parts, but pretty soon people interpret those and do them differently, you know, and John's a prime example of that riff. I kind of wrote the riff, but the way he shapes it, and it's lovely, you know.
Yeah, well, he's the sort of go-to guitarist.
He's amazing.
He?
Yeah, he can do everything really. Beautifully. So the music took shape, and I thought, I want to record it. It doesn't make any sense financially, but I'm going to do it anyway because, like we were talking a minute ago, we're at that point in our lives where we want to do what we want to do.
Exactly.
So I just took the plunge and spent a long time writing it all out and arranging it, working out the sound of the band because it was a new thing. I didn't really know how it was going to sound. And I knew all we'd have probably is a rehearsal or two. What happened in the end is we had one rehearsal and then we had a little gig at the Vortex to play the music in. And then we went in the studio to record.
Wow.
So it was a very quick process of getting it together. So it was, you know, shaping up in front of my eyes, really, the sound of it as I was putting the bits in, you know, putting the flute in and the clarinets. And
right, yeah. And so you did a gig at the Vortex, and then where did you record?
We recorded 3 days later at Livingston Studios in London, which is a really nice studio.
Yeah.
That I've done lots before. Right. In fact, I did my debut album there 24 years ago.
Wow.
So it was almost full circle going back.
Yeah.
And doing the same lineup, but 25 years later.
Yeah. How funny.
Yeah, it was funny. It was. Yeah. But it was nice. It felt natural somehow. It felt like a natural thing, you know.
Well, a progression as well, because this does not sound like the same music that you would have written and recorded 25 years ago.
No, I don't think so. No.
No.
I think I've learnt a few things, a few tricks of what I want, you know.
Yeah, and I think also our sense of, I think, what we thought of as jazz 25 years ago, 30 years ago, was not the same as what it is now. I think it's much broader now.
True.
In a good way.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
There's much more crossover, isn't there, and world music, and certainly in my music, and folk. And
I think we feel like we're allowed to bring in other things from other genres, whereas I think there was a purism then. Perhaps it was just us, perhaps we were just young, but it was sort of felt like it had to be jazz,
I mean, that was the just going back to Loose Tubes very briefly before we get into that point. You know, that was what was amazing about that band, is it was kind of genre free in a way, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, because so my experience with Loose Tubes was just that one tour.
Yeah.
I can't even remember where we went. I mean, I literally, you know, had a conversation with Ashley Slater, who actually has been on this podcast. So I bumped into Ashley in Bill Lewington's, as it was, and he said, you know, do you want to come? And so I turned up, and it was probably, I think it was sort of 2 days later, it was that soon. I don't remember ever seeing any music. I don't even remember seeing music. Did we play from music?
Yeah, we played from a pad.
Oh, there was a pad. Because my recollection is we did a gig, we did a jazz festival, and we all, like, came off stage and were walking around the audience playing. And I had no idea where it was, but it was so liberating because I had no idea what I was playing, but it was just responding to what everybody else was doing, and it was just incredible.
Yeah,
really,
we used
just
to do that.
Using your ears.
Yeah, quite regularly. Yeah. I think it was a tune called Arriving, Chris Batchelor's tune.
Oh,
which was a kind of bluesy thing that we just used to be able to kind of busk in.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing times,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, what else have you been doing in the meantime?
So, after Loose Tubes, I formed a band called Perfect Houseplants with a really good friend of mine called Hugh Warren, a Welsh piano player, composer. And we had that band for quite a long time. And that was really important for me from a writing point of view, because it really gave me confidence about my writing, because I was really not very confident about my writing when I started, like most composers. In fact, I've been saying this today in the class that I've just done at the Guildhall, composers class. And they didn't bring anything. And I've found out the reason why they didn't bring anything is because they're all a bit scared about, you know, exposing themselves or something.
Yeah.
So I told them this story, actually, or similar thing, that when I started this band with Hugh, his writing was all kind of finished and beautifully kind of conceived. And then there was me bringing my little bits in that I wasn't very comfortable with, you know, or confident about. And it took a few years of just bringing them in and realising that they weren't as bad as I thought, and then realising that they were okay and we could have them in the band, you know. So that band, Perfect Houseplants, was really important. And then I did my own bands, some of my own records, like the Scratch Band, which was the 12-piece band that happened in 1998. And then I kind of had a second career, really, because I got this call from Seb Rochford one day, who's a drummer who runs this band Polar Bear, and he said, would I like to be in this band? So it was amazing.
Right.
So I was in this band called Polar Bear.
Right.
That was really successful, so...
Yeah, I mean, I remember it. I don't think I ever went to see it, but, you know.
No.
Yeah.
So there were two saxes, bass and drums, and then we were joined by a guy who played the laptop and kind of sampled what we did.
Right, nice.
That was called Polar Bear, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting, because one of the things that I'm looking at, so I'm doing this, getting this project together with a trumpeter, a sort of Jerry Mulligan, Chet Baker, but modernised.
Mm.
And one of the things I'm looking at is using pedals and all of that sort of stuff. But I love the idea of having a laptop, having somebody else on a laptop who does the sequencing and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would perhaps make more sense for me.
Well, yeah.
To not have to think about it, you know.
I mean, it was quite an interesting thing, because he would basically record what we did live and then kind of deconstruct it, you know, and kind of change it and then put it out from the speakers. And I use some subtle effects on sax for some of my projects, you know,
which I quite like
delays and things like that and reverbs and little effects things, you know.
Yeah.
It can be a nice thing.
Absolutely. One of the things I've always liked about sax is nobody plays sax the same as anybody else. Or if they do, they're doing it wrong, I think. Mm. You know, it's why classical sax, for me, has never really appealed, because you have to kind of, you have to melt into the background of everybody else. And I've always liked that, even, you know, and so the idea that you then can play around with things as well, using electronics or you know, other techniques.
Well, it's all part of the palette, isn't it? The sonic palette.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
going back to Smiling, it's obviously coming out at the end of March. And do you have a tour planned?
I don't have a tour plan. We have an album launch plan that is at the Vortex. And we're going to do two shows, and we're going to play the album for the first show.
Right.
And then do the same order, probably, for the second show.
Right.
So we'll play the album twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously not trying to play exactly the same.
Well, no, no.
But, so that will be the launch, that will be the kind of launch.
Yeah.
And then in terms of gigs and touring, I don't know, there's so many people.
Yes, that's the trouble, isn't it?
And it's such a difficult time now to get, you know, people, you know, to get funding and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't quite decided.
Right. Do you think you could do a stripped-down version of it?
I could do, yeah. I could do it.
Because that, I think, might be quite nice. Obviously, might, with John.
Might be quite nice, yeah. With the rhythm section and a couple of horns.
Yeah.
I have been starting to think about that, yeah.
Because those tunes strike me that they would work in different... They work beautifully as they are.
Yeah.
But actually, there's that sort of... potential somehow with them, which I really like. So.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just, you know, it's just looking at the music and seeing which bits work.
Yeah.
Without all the kind of intricate orchestration that we can have with all the instruments, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not everything, when you condense it, it doesn't all work, you know. I've found that before, you know.
Right, but it would just be different, wouldn't it?
It would be different, and it could be more open, and it could be, yeah, it could be great, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Fantastic. So you're with Edition Records, Dave Stapleton.
Yeah. Do you know Dave?
I don't. I've never met him, but right. we've sort of corresponded a few times about various artists and things. Mm. So how did you get either signed to him, or how did he come?
With Dave, with the Edition. Yeah. In 2009, I sent him an album called In Deep, which was a quintet album that he still raves about, actually. And it's an album that I can still listen to as well. It's with Liam Noble and Jasper Hoiby, before Jasper was kind of famous, really.
Well, yeah.
So it's a quintet, tenor, trumpets, a straight kind of lineup. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to him. I think I sent the rough mix to him, and he got straight back to me and said he really liked it. So that was the first thing I did with them.
Yeah.
And then we've just been able to keep the relationship, you know. Yeah. And I think I've done, this is the fifth under my own name, and then I've done two Milija records with Liam Jasper.
Yeah,
and it's a good relationship. I mean, you know, it's a real challenge for him, you know, and it's hard to keep everything going.
Yeah.
But it's good for me. I like being part of that stable.
Yeah. There's a tick mark of quality, isn't there, if you're on Edition?
Yeah. I think there is.
Yeah.
I think there is, and I think it's. I hope it's important for him to keep UK artists, because he hasn't got many UK artists.
No.
It's mostly Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. But he does want to. He does seem to want to keep that going. So.
I think he does, and. Yeah. You know, our relationship's gone back quite a long way, and I've played on some of his recordings, you know, Slowly Rolling Camera, which is his band. I've done quite a lot of recording with them.
Right.
So there's lots of connections, there's lots of cross threads with it all, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, it's important that they do it, you know. I mean, obviously, if they turn around and say they don't do it, I'll just do it someone else or self-release, but it's much nicer to have that there, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, so what have you got coming up?
What have I got coming up?
Obviously the album launch.
Yeah, doing that. I've got some gigs with Norma Winston.
I
love playing with.
Oh, yeah. She's got a great voice, hasn't she? And her style, she just sort of owns the stage in that real way, doesn't she?
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
So some gigs with her, and some gigs with John Paracelli. It's a kind of smaller band thing.
Oh, nice.
That could lead into maybe something to do with Smiling. I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm writing a new Dreamers album. So Dreamers band is the band. It's a small band that I have.
Right.
It was the record before this last one.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard it.
I haven't.
Yet.
No, I'll need to check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of electronic-y and.
Okay.
It's keyboards and I'm using effects and things.
Right, yeah.
So I'm writing a new record for that.
Okay.
So that's the next kind of big creative thing, I suppose.
Brilliant. Oh, that's good.
So so there's lots of things.
Yeah, brilliant. And so you said you were at Guildhall and doing a composer's class. So do you mainly do composition there, or do you do sax as well?
I just do composition there.
Just composition. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't do any sax.
Right. The music scene, there seems to be a lot going on at the moment. It seems to be a really good place. I mean, not financially.
No.
That's the trouble. But there seems to be a lot of creativity.
There is, and I think that there always has been. It's just, you know, the problem is getting it out there, getting it heard.
Yeah.
And even with Spotify, you know, where potentially we can all get our music heard, you're still fighting for space, you know.
Yeah. It's
one
There's
of
the
that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the main reasons I started this podcast, was to kind of give a to try and get into that space, so that people, if they wanted to hear some new music, they could go kind of, well, you know, there might be something on that podcast, and come to it. And I genuinely believe that if I can bring one extra person to your Spotify or your gigs or whatever, then it's worth doing. So
yeah,
you know, so hopefully it'll be more than one person. So.
Yeah. No, I think you have to think, you know, being a jazz musician, you have to think like that.
Yeah.
You have to be grateful for everyone and and not ever feel that anyone owes you anything. You know, I think that's one of the secrets about hanging in there for a long time.
Yeah,
because you can't be like that. You can't think, only... Because you get bitter and twisted. You just got to try and keep the faith
absolutely.
In the music. Yeah. And hope that there's some people that like what you do. You
know? No, absolutely. I think there was a filmmaker. I think it was either Christopher Nolan or somebody like that who said, "I'm just making films. If people want to come and watch them, great."
Yeah.
And there's a sense of that with jazz musicians. It's like, well, this is what we do. We write and we perform, and it's great if people want to listen to it. But we can't do anything else. You know, we've got to do this.
No.
So.
I mean, it's hard to say that. You have to be quite brave to say that when you're.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you've got the mortgage to pay, and
and you're on the fringe of the arts world. You know, jazz is always going to be on the fringe of the arts world.
Definitely.
But you're absolutely right. I think that's exactly what we need to say. Look, you know, I'm making this music.
Yeah.
And you know, with smiling, you know, the reason why it's called smiling is because when I first got it back from the studio, I put it on and it made me smile. I thought, this is happy music, you know.
And it is.
And it felt kind of strange because I seem to remember it was Ukraine going on. There were all these horrible things in the world. But, you know, in a way, it was like an antidote to kind of call it that, you know.
Right,
Then, so I decided to call it Smiling. I don't know if you know this, but... And I thought, right, for the cover, I'm going to have all these people smiling on it.
Yeah.
So I just emailed loads of people.
Oh, is that how you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, some people I didn't really know that well. I mean, if I'd known you at that point, I probably would have emailed you.
Yeah.
And I just said, look, I know this is weird. And, you know, I think the Israeli thing had just kicked off. And, you know, I said, I know this is weird, but would you... like to send me a smile for my album? And the reaction from most people was, we'd love to, we need to smile, this is the time where we need to smile.
And
they sent me a picture.
That's brilliant.
And in the end I got, I think, 144 pictures on the front.
Yeah,
you know, 12 by 12.
So
I was delighted. There's a couple of dogs on it actually, but but I was delighted with that kind of positive reaction to
I mean, that's what we do this thing for, isn't it? This whole music thing is to make people smile, ultimately, really.
Yeah.
So, and make people think, obviously, and all the rest of it. But actually, smiling is a really important thing.
Yeah. And I think for me, this music's much simpler than some of the music that I've written, you know, and that was deliberate to make it just kind of groovy and buoyant. And
which it is.
Not too complicated, you know, not.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to be quite breezy and and I think people have caught on to that a bit, so
said I really like it. I think it's a great album.
Thanks. So spread the word. Where you are spreading the word.
Well, I am spreading the word.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Okay, but thank you for joining me for this conversation. Yeah, it's really good.
No, it's a pleasure, and thanks for your interest in it, because it's it's always, it always helps having people, you know, interested in what you do, so it's great.
Exactly. Mm. Fantastic. There we go.
Nice one, Hilary.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Good.
Thank you for joining me once more for Harmonious World. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mark Lockhart. What you're listening to now is Western Shores. And again, it's got John Paricelli on guitar at the opening before the rest of the band joins in. But thanks for joining me once more for Harmonious World. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Harmonious World. My name is Hilary Seabrook, and it's a great delight to bring this series of discussions with musicians and composers and writers and all sorts of people to you. Obviously, there's no point in having a podcast if people aren't listening, and I'm very grateful to my listeners for doing so. Thanks also to Joe English for composing and performing this new theme tune. So wherever you get your podcast, you can leave a review. You can share this with your friends and family, either as a link or on social media and that sort of thing. I'd be really grateful for that. Don't forget that you can subscribe now. There's a link wherever you get your podcasts. So have a great week, and please remember why I started this, which is just to try and make the world a little more harmonious. Thanks for listening to Harmonious World.